Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, June 2nd, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Bless, it's so good to be here with you today. I would say today marks the beginning of Summer Game Fest. It's E3 season. It's happening. It's here. It's there's always that busy feeling. You know, I woke up, got my big ass coffee, just like it's every day. So not much has changed. But these always remind me of the E3 days because it was the first time I was ever introduced to the Trenta unsweetened iced coffee by one Nick Scarpino back in 2010.
Like watching Nick walk with a tray of four of them and you with another tray of four of them and being like, there's only four of us. Why are there two of them? Just makes E3, so baby. Much sense. Also, it's Tim, E3. if I may just take a moment,
Kevin,
to let
you
know, to take let you know, something about the mustache with the beard a little grown in really fucking works. This is
great.
This is good look for you. This is at least on camera, you look great. It's a look.
I appreciate that. I don't know that I'm aligned with you in those thoughts, but I do appreciate the positivity. I keep catching myself in the mirror and getting ready to report myself to some type of services. I don't know which, I don't know who, but I'm freaking myself out, guys.
I feel like you got the versatility to pull it off, even without the beard growing in. I dug it, especially with the sunglasses and when you leaned fully into the Top Gun look. I think it worked for you. I agree with Kevin, though, that like now that the beard is growing in a little bit, it really works.
Thank you.
I feel like I should consider this making this year thing, at least for a little bit.
Oh, shit. Just we'll saying Tim Dad. And I see it.
Hey. Tim Dad. Daddy Tim. I can see it. Tim, what are your hype levels? You know, you mentioned that.
No one's ever called me daddy before, Bless. I just want to let you know.
Really?
You just broke my daddy cherry. So thank you.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Because like, no. Here's the thing.
Ew,
right? Like,
we all watched.
Live on air. I mean, here's the thing, right? Some people into the daddy thing, other people aren't into that. I'm not into the daddy thing. I don't want anybody to ever call me daddy in their life. But Tim, is that a thing you've ever considered? Have you ever been like, hey, like, just call me just once, just so I can see how I feel.
Has it ever happened though? Like, has anyone aggressively ever called you daddy? Like during both of you guys.
Or Tim?
No one has ever called me daddy until this moment. Like today,
That's insane.
June 2nd, 2022. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Thank you, Bless.
And I was the one that got to do it. Very corny. You're coming in at a time that makes me very nervous. What's up?
No.
Oh, no. I don't like it. There's nothing
this
bothering me
This is a video
me.
Game news this show.
A, we're here to talk about Summer Games Fest and talk about what Jeff Keighley may or may not be hiding. We have a very packed episode as far as Summer Games Fest content, and I can't wait to get there. But I do want to come back to the original question of Tim. How hyped are you for today, right? PlayStation State of Play. It's happening. Usually, I feel like we temper our expectations greatly for these things, but now that we're at the day of, I'm actually like, I've allowed myself to get a bit excited.
Here's my thing. Like, legitimately, I've been saying this a little bit, and I feel like I said this a lot last year too, but like, this is easily the least excited I've ever been for E3 season. And that is such a bummer, but I think it's just the realities of a couple things. Obviously, the pandemic's effects on the games industry. On top of that, just this whole work from home era of E3 still has Summer Game Fest, whatever, has a long ways to go to really solidify and figure out what it actually is. And the other thing is there's just way too many showcases all year round. So the excitement and potential of, yo, everything is going to happen this week that is going to happen and be announced this year has been erased over the last couple of years. So it's getting harder and harder and harder to like really be like so stoked out of my mind. If today was a PlayStation showcase, I'd be stoked out of my mind. But of course, from understanding what a state of play has been recently, I think that there's a couple things that I'm excited to and hopeful to see. I'm not going to be like shocked if they don't show up and like disappointed, but I do think that I might continue to say I don't really know what the point of these state of plays are, If they're going to be like this, but hopefully they're not like this. Hopefully they're the good ones, because I believe in the power of state of play, and they've done it before with Final Fantasies. They've done it before with Resident Evils. And if they could do that for me today, I'll be happy.
Yeah, every now and then you get the treats at a state of play, right? Like the previous state of play, we got the Returnal DLC. That was a treat for me, right? Previous years, like last year, we got Final Fantasy VII Intergrade. And going into this next state of play, I think there has been hope thrown around that we'll maybe see Final Fantasy XVI. I've firmly been on the side of, no, we are not seeing Final Fantasy XVI. That said, I think I've allowed myself to open up to the idea of seeing Final Fantasy 16. I think part of that comes from talking to you guys on the Kind of Funny Games cast, talking about like, yeah, sure, maybe a 16 level announcement isn't like revealed at a state of play, but we could get an update. We could get a gameplay trailer. We could get maybe a release date, something along those lines.
Yeah, and we'll see.
I've opened myself up to that, right? Because they've talked about seeing third party stuff. My last question before you, before we get into the proper show, because we're going to talk a lot about state of play, Summer Games Fest, all that. We're going to LA in about a week. In like a day.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Me and like, your first games trip, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and I'm very excited about it, right? Like being able to go and do a preview. I think when I first joined Kind of Funny, there was maybe one or two previews I did in person. I did one for Persona 5 Royal in LA, and then I did another one for Doom Eternal that was in SF. But now, like, I'm going with you and Greg. This is quote-unquote Judges Week adjacent. And this is my first time at a thing like this, I think, that I've heard about on podcasts over the years that I've gotten excited about. What is your hype level for next week going to L.A.?
10 out of 10, honestly. Just being able to hang out with you and Greg and like treat it like a real E3, I'm so excited about. And also seeing everybody and just kind of seeing what Jeff and them have in store for us. Like, I think that this is, again, going back to what I was just saying, like, we're still not at the point where Summer Game Fest exist and people understand exactly what it is. I think that this Days of Play, I think they're calling it Play Days, something like that, is a step towards that. Is Jeff really kind of owning the week and owning the organization of it all? So I'm super excited about all of that. I do want to put a poll up in the chat. I don't know how to do that, so if somebody that's watching live can, will Blessing get a treat today? Will he get treated? Yes or no?
That's standard. That sounds so gross.
You think I'm gonna get a treat today?
Yeah. Is Daddy gonna get his treats or not?
I feel like I already got a treat. Barrett came in here and called me daddy, and that was, I don't know if that was a trick or a treat, but enough about that, Tim. I want to talk more about some very specific Summer Game Fest news with today's stories, which include Obsidian having something to show next week, Ubisoft having nothing to show next week, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, we got a new episode of the Kind of Funny Games cast up right now, and it's our Summer Games Showcase bets and predictions. We also talk about some Sonic Frontiers and Pokemon impressions. That is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. And then, of course, PlayStation State of Play is going down later today. We are live reacting to it, and then immediately after, we'll be recording PS I Love You XOXO live as the post show. You won't want to miss out on that, so tune in later today on YouTube, on Twitch, actually, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or YouTube later if you want to. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire and Fargo Brady. Terry brought to you by Chime and Credit Karma, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have eight stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Obsidian seems like it's showing something at an Xbox showcase. This is from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. Obsidian Studio Design Director Josh Sawyer has seemingly hinted at that the studio may appear at the upcoming Xbox and Bethesda showcase event. On Wednesday, Sawyer retweeted a tweet from the official Xbox account about Xbox and Bethesda showcase with, quote, anyway, end quote, and a painted nails emoji, which is typically used to signal that the poster has something that they want to say, but can't yet. Which, to pause there, I feel like that's a big stretch, but I'm going to continue on with the story because I do kind of agree a little bit with what it's getting at. To continue, Obsidian currently has three games in development: Grounded, which entered early access in 2020, Avowed, which was revealed at 2020's Xbox Showcase, and The Outer Worlds 2, which was revealed at the 2021 event. In October last year, Windows Central reported that Avowed will feature two-handed first-person combat, similar to Microsoft's stablemate Bethesda's The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. It was said at the time that an early working version of the game was close to being completed, so it's possible that the first gameplay of the RPG will be shown at the event. Kevin, I have a tweet, if you're able to pull it up. It's at the bottom of the news story in the doc to show. Yeah. Wait, oh, you already showed it?
Yeah, wait, is it this?
Yeah. No, it's this one. So yeah, this is the tweet that Josh Schroeder put out. Perfect. Yeah, and it is him being like, anyway, like with the nails painting, kind of signaling that, like,
we might have something to show. Like, I'm getting ready to you know, go out.
I think it's like a cheeky, like,
yeah. That's the
I like it.
Type
yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like it. I'm excited.
I got tea for you, you know? Yeah. And, like, yeah. I think it's accurate, right? And I don't think that's a surprise that Obsidian would have something to show in an Xbox Game Showcase. Xbox Studio, that said, right, we don't always see every Xbox Studio at an Xbox Showcase. And so, you know, it could go either way. But I do think that this is somewhat confirmation that we'll see something from Obsidian. Tim, my question for you is, what do you think that something is?
I think it's Avowed. I think that with where we're at in modern social media standards of when it comes to the type of communications like we just saw, they're clearly teasing something. And I feel like the team over at Xbox has learned lessons in a bunch of different ways about what to and not do when it comes to overhyping or underhyping the different showcase levels that they have. And this is their big one. This, and like in opposition to what I was saying earlier of today's PlayStation thing is a state of play. It is not a PlayStation showcase or PlayStation meeting. That means something. This is Xbox's biggest event. When we look back at the last couple of years, like this is the time frame. This is the kind of branding that they use for their heavy hitters. And it's interesting looking at the moves made the last couple months with a lot of the Bethesda stuff getting delayed and pushed back and all of that. I think that's going to shift a lot of what the conversation is, but that leaves kind of a gap for what the rest of the showcase is. And I think that this is a sign that Avowed is probably further along than some of us might have thought. Bless. Looking at you.
No, I mean 100%.
Yesterday on the 100%. Gamescast, when you said it might never even happen.
That's the thing, is like this news story has turned me around, especially because I like it's new info to me that I didn't recall the point of it was said at the time of them announcing it that an early working version of the game was close to being completed. I never caught that. And so like seeing that and reading that makes me think that Avowed is way more imminent, which makes more sense to me of the game actually coming out. Because my theory was that Avowed was announced before Microsoft bought Bethesda, right? Bethesda obviously owns or Bethesda Game Studios, which makes Skyrim, Elder Scrolls. Like, there is a lot of crossover there, especially when you talk about Obsidian, who has literally worked on Bethesda properties before, and I think wants to lean into a lot of the DNA that makes a big Western first-person RPG that, especially in Bethesda sense. I imagine Avowed is going to be very Elder Scrolls-like, right? I'm sure it's going to have a lot of originality. I'm sure the role is going to feel original. I'm sure their characters, all that stuff, is going to feel very Obsidian. But I do think that at the heart of it, it is going to be a fantasy open world Western RPG in the way that Elder Scrolls is. And from the Microsoft side of things, it's like, how many of those do you want? Especially when it is like, you got In Exile probably working on their own thing, right? You have Fable coming through too. Like, how many Western fantasy RPGs do you want? That said, Avowed coming sooner than later makes so much sense for this, because we're not going to see the next Elder Scrolls for years and years and years, especially with Starfield being delayed into 2023, right? Like, when Starfield actually comes out, that's when we start the rollout for, cool, all hands on deck for Elder Scrolls. What, we're 3, 4, 5 years out from that? Yeah, put out Avowed as soon as possible so that you can satiate the audience now. That way, when Elder Scrolls does come by, that can live on its own, and then you start the next cycle of Avowed 2 maybe coming out way after that.
Yeah, I still imagine that getting Avowed out as soon as possible, still 2023. Like, I don't think that anything we see in the next week's going to make us be like, oh shit, we got this coming this year. Like, I don't think that's going to be the case. Inception88 in the chat says, Jeff Grubb claims this is not Avowed and that this is another game. So
another game.
So that's pretty interesting.
I need to find this Jeff Grubb tweet then. Cause when he says another game, does he mean Grounded? Does he mean Outer Worlds 2? I would be surprised if we see Outer Worlds 2.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll
that was
see,
a really but... that like that's something that seems like it's way early on, and I couldn't see us getting gameplay. Maybe a cinematic trailer for Outer Worlds 2, since the trailer we got last year was a bit more like, hey, just here's the game, right? Here's like a vista and the title. Maybe we get something cinematic for that. But even that, I'd be a bit more surprised about.
It wasn't a tweet. It was on his Giant Bomb show, says Inception. And I mean, we're going to get to this later, but there's another story we're covering today that Jeff Grubb has been hinting at knowing is going to happen. So we'll get to that when we get to it.
Well, Tim, for now, let's move on to story number two. Continuing with the Summer Games Fest talk, Ubisoft isn't planning to hold its own E3-style showcase in June. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Ubisoft won't be holding a major product showcase this month. The French publisher has traditionally held a conference each summer, almost always in June, to coincide with E3, but a company spokesperson told Axios that won't be the case in 2022. The Ubisoft rep said the company isn't planning another product showcase until later this year. The Assassin's Creed maker held its first fully digital conference, Ubisoft Forward, in July 2020 after E3 was canceled amid COVID-19 concerns. Ubisoft Forward events were also held in September 2020 and in June 2021. In March, several sources told reliable industry insider Tom Henderson that Ubisoft was planning a major digital showcase, which was supposed to air prior to a potential E3 show this summer, but that those plans could have been put on hold due to recent world events. Tim, does this one surprise you?
I mean, yes and no. It doesn't surprise me this late that we're not getting a surprise announcement that they're doing it, but it does surprise me that they're not doing it. But again, I think it just goes back to where we're at and everything I was saying earlier. Ubisoft were one of the first of the publishers or devs to create their own showcase and run it into the ground where it's like there was multiple Ubisoft Forwards the last couple of years, like in each year getting multiple ones. And when you do that, you're kind of spreading out your library, and even a library as vast as Ubisoft, who compared to the majority of the other, especially third-party publishers out there, aren't putting out that type of output year to year. I mean, going back in the history of E3, Ubisoft was always the kind of biggest third-party press conference, right? Like besides the first parties of the Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, like there was Ubisoft. Some years there was EA, some years there wasn't. Sometimes there was an Activision thing, but it was never a press conference. Sometimes there was Konami, but like Ubisoft was always the biggest one that wasn't one of the big three. And I think dividing that up across the year and like continuing to do that, especially with the amount of changes that have been going on with Ubisoft and how some of the games that used to be annualized are no longer annualized, I feel like they're just kind of in this weird place where they're not ready to talk about stuff because they too recently had talked about things, and I don't think that they have things that are imminent that they need to get to right now, which is a new position for Ubisoft to be in, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, I think you nail it, right? We're in an interesting place with Ubisoft, right? They just put out Far Cry 6 late last year. They put out Roller Champions like last week. And when I look toward the future, you know, it is Mario and Rabbids. Yeah, I think that's probably the most imminent thing from Ubisoft. And then I go through the list and it's like, all right, we know Assassin's Creed Infinity is out there in the ether somewhere. Beyond Good and Evil 2, does that even exist? Like, what's the word on that? Skull and Bones, what's going on with that? I think reports have been that might be around the corner, but who knows? There's all the free-to-play stuff. There's X Defiant, right? There's the Division Avatar. Heartland. There's Avatar, and that's probably the most thing, actually.
Avatar is the biggest X factor, where I imagine that is, and maybe it ends up not being the case, but I think that is, in Ubi's mind, a big deal game that they're trying to push and like hoping is like a mega hit. So I can see them wanting to like treat that as the tentpole game for whatever their next forward is, whenever that ends up happening. And you got to imagine they want to target December for that to tie into the movie. But
last thing is, like, that game has been announced for 2022, and you would want to time it with the movie. I imagine that maybe it is. That is going to be the main event of our next forward. You want to make sure that everything is good to go on that. Maybe the next forward is July, August in that case.
Or maybe they aren't planning to hold their own E3 style showcase because they're going to show Avatar at Summer Game Fest. Are they on the Game Fest list or no?
I don't think so, because they never partnered with the Summer Game Fest. Like, they were always the one that was mysteriously
adjacent,
missing.
Adjacent, yeah.
Yeah, the list of publishers that were partnering. And I don't think they partnered this time.
Yeah, they're not on the list. So, okay, maybe I'm off on that. So, yeah, probably going to hold off, and we won't hear about Avatar till the next forward, whenever that is. But if I remember correctly, Ubisoft didn't even do the June slot last year. I think they did a July thing. Or was that last EA?
They did do the June thing. EA did July.
July, okay.
2020, Ubisoft did July, and that was like the first time E3 was canceled.
Yeah, yeah. Lanky Dragoon says PlayStation has the marketing deal for Avatar, so it could be at State of Play today. Yeah.
I mean, that could be a good call.
It could right? be.
It could be a very good call, especially as it being branded as a third-party thing. I just have so many questions, right? And like, one of the things they mentioned in the VGC article was, and this isn't like a confirmation or anything, right? Like, they just mentioned that one of those plans could have been put on hold due to recent world events, right? And I would imagine that is talking about the war in Ukraine specifically. And that makes me wonder what were the bigger announcements that were going to be part of the Ubisoft Forward, if that is the case, that would have been adjacent to that. And that speaks to Tom Clancy stuff. Could it have been like Rainbow Six Siege stuff? Could it have been maybe Division Heartland was finally going to make an appearance? I got a lot of questions surrounding that. My one other question is, what is the word with Ubisoft's Star Wars game? Because that's one that we heard the announcement of from Massive and just haven't heard an update on since, right? Like, do we get that by the end of the year? Like a like reveal, not necessarily like the game coming out or anything.
I don't know, man. And it's always hard to tell what's going on when people are quiet. But there's clearly a lot of shit going on at Ubisoft, and they're figuring some things out. I wonder if the next time we see a Ubisoft forward, if it feels dramatically different than the Ubisoft we've seen before, with like a new vision and strategy of how they talk about their games. And I imagine that might kind of define when we'll hear about their Star Wars project. I also think Star Wars is a delicate thing to balance with the amount of AAA Star Wars games that are in the works kind of concurrently at this point. When we have the Ubi game, we have KOTOR remake, and now Jedi Survivor, and they're all potentially hitting in that 2023-2024 area. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how does Disney partner with these different teams to make sure that they're not stepping each other, they're enhancing overall the marketing? I don't know.
Yeah, and how do they all differentiate from each other too? I think it might be the question there too, because like I forget how much we know about Ubisoft Massive's Star Wars game, because that is the studio that's behind The Division. I forget how much we assumed and how much was actually announced in terms of, is it a third person shooter action game? Is it multiplayer? Is it single player? And you guys can let me know in confidential.com/you're wrong with how much is actually confirmed about that. But like, I could see if Jedi Fallen Order and this Massive game come out in the same year, they're different enough, right? If one's multiplayer and one's single player, if one's a shooter and one is, you know, Jedi Fallen Order, a third person action game, I could see how that would line up. But, you know, yeah, there are just so many questions regarding what's going on at Ubisoft. And I'm going to continue to ask the question, what is going on at Ubisoft, especially with this free-to-play games? Because the free-to-play strategy is a thing that terrifies me, because it seems like a big transition for them. And they've announced multiple games that I am just scared about. Division Heartland, X Defiant, I think there was one more that always escapes my mind, but like, we've seen it with Hyperscape, where they put out a free-to-play game that seems like it could be promising, and it just turns into dust, gets Thanos snapped away, and it's like, I don't want to see that continue to happen over and over again, because I don't think that's going to be good for the company whatsoever. But for that, we'll wait and see. For now, I want to take a step out of the Summer Games Fest talk and then like take a subtle step back in with our next news story. Story number three, GeForce Now will no longer support God of War starting next month. This comes from Taylor Lyles at IGN. God of War will no longer be available in the GeForce Now library beginning next month, NVIDIA announced today. Beginning July 1st, both the Steam and Epic Game Store versions of God of War will be unplayable on NVIDIA's cloud gaming service. In an email sent to IGN, an NVIDIA spokesperson confirmed that God of War is being pulled from the service because, quote, the publisher who previously opted into streaming on GeForce Now decided to opt out, end quote. Fortunately, NVIDIA confirmed that thanks to GeForce Now's opt-in process, which allows some games to continue to be available to subscribers on a legacy basis, players that started playing God of War on GeForce Now before July 1st will still have access, wink, wink. Wink is from me, that's not from the IGN article. The only requirement is that GeForce Now subscribers need to load and access the game's main menu via GeForce Now at least once before the title is pulled from the service. God of War arrived on GeForce Now back in late April, and it allowed RTX 3080 tier members to stream the game on the cloud at up to 4K resolution or have a frame rate as high as 120 FPS, depending on the device. Of course, GeForce Now is not the only way to play God of War on the go. If you have a portable gaming PC, most notably on the Steam Deck, not to mention remote play is an option too. Tim, this is interesting because I think the common idea is that this is probably leading into PS Plus in the revamp, and I believe it is the highest tier PS Plus premium that's going to allow access to cloud streaming games. At least that was my guess of like why you would remove God of War from the service. Maybe it's to push your own cloud streaming stuff. But that then leads in to a fascinating story number four, which is what is GeForce teasing on Twitter? Because this morning, NVIDIA at NVIDIA GeForce on Twitter, it's a verified account, you can check it. They quote tweeted PlayStation's tweet from a couple days ago announcing the state of play coming up today, right? NVIDIA GeForce on Twitter quote tweeted that and said, "Join us as we tune into hashtag state of play. Comment below and tell us what you're most excited to see on PC. Hashtag RTX on." Tim, what is happening?
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, we've seen a history now of GeForce partnering with PlayStation for PC launches of their titles. So I think that this does kind of lead to some evidence of maybe we get another PC reveal today of a game we didn't know about. Off the top of my head, I can't remember if there's any of those NVIDIA leak games that haven't been announced officially yet.
I forget if Returnal was on there, but I think Returnal might have been on there.
But I mean, even then, it was announced already now.
Wait, right? Was Returnal announced for PC?
Was it? Was it not? Didn't they announce that during the co-op thing that they announced at the last day to play? Or am I making that up?
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I don't think they did, but I could be off about that.
They're saying not officially. Okay, so then maybe today it'll be announced. Like that would make sense then.
Yeah, that would add up. And then Uncharted Legacy Collection, Legacy of Thieves Collection. There's another kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I forget if that was announced for PC as well. I don't think that was announced for PC, but I could be off about that.
It was.
I would imagine that. Oh, it was?
Yeah. That was announced for PC the same time the PlayStation version was announced. And then it was just announced for early 2022, I think. And then, or for 2022, but then the game came out on PlayStation with a date in early 2022.
Yeah. And I don't think this got a date. So maybe that gets a date.
Maybe just the date. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I think that I'd be surprised if it's a game that wasn't on that NVIDIA leak from before. You know, like I don't think it's going to be Spider-Man, but I can imagine Returnal. I can imagine it being
Uncharted Legacy.
Uncharted, some version of it on PC, whatever. The news of God of War leaving, I think you're right. You're spot on about them pushing the PlayStation Plus thing. That makes sense with all this timing and stuff. It is unfortunate that the GeForce is a little bit more PC-based than the PlayStation version of it is. But with the beauty of the cloud, it kind of takes that factor out of it. So It's definitely unfortunate. But hey, if you guys want to play God of War on GeForce Now, get it now
July 1st. Yeah, and you'll be able to keep it. Yeah, like that is like the wink wink, like hey, go do that if you're somebody who is into GeForce or wants to experience it that way. But yeah, I just find it weird that like the God of War is being taken off, but then also it seems like this partnership is continuing. It seems like they are leaning into, no, we do want to partner with GeForce, have these games come to PC. I wonder if it's going to continue to be available. Their games are going to be continue to be available on streaming with NVIDIA GeForce Now. With them tweeting it out from the NVIDIA GeForce account, I would think so, but I guess I wouldn't bet money on it anymore, which is a bummer. But also, I guess cloud streaming, again, available through PlayStation Plus Premium, so you have it that way.
Well, the other thing, too, is GeForce Now is different than GeForce, just RTX stuff.
Brand, yeah.
So it's like GeForce Now is the streaming thing, but it's NVIDIA GeForce that is the tweet here. So that could just mean there's DLSS. That could just mean there's ray tracing and all the other stuff we talk about, the reflex and things like that in the games.
Gotcha. I also do like now. I think the next couple of games coming to PC from PlayStation, I think, are going to be Returnal and the Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection. My question for you is, do you think we get more from Legacy stuff? Or do you think from now going forward, it is going to be more of the newer things that are going to be the PC games? Because I would like to see Spider-Man. I feel like that would be such a great next contender to come to PC.
I mean, that'd be incredible. I don't know this, but my gut says the licensing on the Marvel side is going to make that, at the very least, more complicated. I don't think that it's impossible. I think the last couple of years have proven anything is fucking possible in a world where Game Pass has day and date first party titles from Xbox and Microsoft is looking into buying Activision and Sony's titles are coming to PC, like God of War, anything can happen. I still think the Spider-Man would probably be the least likely of the first party Sony titles just because of the IP rights and those complications. But I think when you look at the rest of the games they've put on PC already, it's like they clearly understand the value of putting their first party titles that are owned and operated IP over there for that double dip.
Also, I'll go ahead and say the thing that breaks our hearts every single time, right? Bloodborne PC, give it to me. I don't think it's gonna happen. Now I feel like that's an announcement that maybe you could actually hold for like a really big thing at this point, because everybody kind of wants it. But like, I would love to see Bloodborne coming to PC. It wasn't part of the RTX leak, and that's the thing that Andy oftentimes points out, of like, yo, it wasn't there. They're probably working on a remake or some like very specific version of that game that's gonna shine from Bluepoint or something like that, right? But that's one that I think a lot of people are clamoring for, that I would love to see. And then I think Demon's Souls as well from Bluepoint would be a great candidate to come to PC. I think that's one that, for how technically impressive it is on PS5, would shine. And also it's in that same timeline as like the earlier PS5 era that I think you would want to see pop up there as well. And I think Sackboy's Big Adventure, I think, might have been part of that leak too. So there's a chance we see that appear as well.
Yeah, it gets complicated, and I'm not too perfectly informed on the differences between like what Sony owns and like the dev side of it and all that stuff with things like Bloodborne, like who owns the IP, or even Demon's Souls and all of that. But regardless, they're not a owned and operated PlayStation studio that made those games. So I think that is probably another factor in terms of getting them on PC. Not to say it's impossible, because look at things like Death Stranding, right? Which is a similar situation to this, where not a first party title, but it was a PlayStation kind of published thing.
It's like first party in terms of, I think, IP ownership, but then, you know, a third party studio develops it, even though 505 published it on PC. That's a whole weird situation.
But that's what I'm saying, is like, I think that there is a chance, and I'm not saying that Sony couldn't figure it out themselves, but I think that there is a chance that games like Bloodborne or Spider-Man or Demon's Souls, any game that has some level of complication where it's not 100% clear that from IP developer all the way down Sony owns it, that I think that there's just extra layers and extra things they need to figure out. So I don't think we'll see that stuff today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, anything is possible. If you want to open up more possibilities, you should go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. I love MeUndies from head to toe, all over my body. If you don't believe me, of course, right now, I'm wearing the MeUndies shirt. You can tell by the little tag going on right there, right? I got the MeUndies lounge shorts going on. Of course, I got the undies. And then, boom, MeUndies socks, baby. That's how we do out here at Kinda Funny. I love being soft head to toe in the micromodal fabric. You already know all about that. But if you don't, let's face it, summer's sweaty, but your butt doesn't have to be. With MeUndies light and breathable micromodal fabric, you can stay comfy and cool all summer long. They have super fun seasonal prints and tons of styles to choose from. But if you just like classic black, that's totally cool too. They got a bunch of just bold colors for you to go for. They have super fun seasonal prints, tons of styles, and sizes extra small to 4XL, so you can bring the beach to your butt without ever leaving your living room. MeUndies has a great offer for all of you first-time purchasers. You can get 15% off if you sign up for their free to join membership. You can apply that 15% off to their already discounted membership prices. To get 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Tell them Tim Getty sent you. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early without direct deposit. That's up to 2 more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. But Chime is about more than just getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. What are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. Shout out to Credit Karma for sponsoring this episode. Want a new credit card but not sure how to choose? You don't need to apply for the first offer that you see in the mail. Credit Karma can help you zero in on the right option for you and apply with more confidence. I love Credit Karma. I've been using it for years to check my credit profile, make sure everything is good and on the up and up. Credit Karma uses your credit profile to show you offers that are tailored to your financial situation. Credit Karma partners with a wide range of card issuers, so you can be sure that you're exploring all sorts of options. Best of all, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you your chances of approval before you even apply, helping you apply with more confidence. Comparing cards on Credit Karma is 100% free and most importantly, will not affect your credit score. That is huge. Credit Karma, create your own karma. Ready to find the right card for you? Head to Credit Karma and check out your personalized mix of offers today. That's creditkarma.com or hit up the Credit Karma app to find the right card for you. That's creditkarma.com.
Daddy Tim.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Daddy Bless.
Number five. We got some more PC stuff for you. Really, this is more PC stuff for me. Valve has delayed the Steam Deck's docking station. This is Taylor Lyles at IGN. If you're hoping to buy an official docking station for the Steam Deck, you will need to wait a little bit longer, as Valve announced today that it has delayed the release of the accessory. In a new blog post, Valve confirmed that it has delayed the release of the docking station due to a shortage of parts as well as COVID-related closures at its manufacturing facilities. Valve originally said it planned to release the official docking station somewhere or sometime this spring. The official Steam Deck docking station features three USB 3.1 ports, one HDMI 2.0 port, DisplayPort 1.4, and a gigabit Ethernet jack. Valve has yet to share exactly how much the docking station will retail for and a new release window. And I'll tell you what, don't let Valve or Gabe Newell hear this. I'll pay whatever it takes to get this docking station. Because, Tim, as I've been messing around with this big, beautiful Steam Deck right here, right? It's so big and it's so beautiful. As I've been messing around with it, right, I've been playing a lot of Death Stranding. In fact, I beat Death Stranding. That's the thing I don't think I've talked about on content yet. I played 40-something hours and played all the way through Death Stranding and absolutely loved and adored it, right? Fantastic game. For the last about 20 hours, when the game starts to get really cutscene heavy, I decided, oh, you know what? Let me just hook this up to my TV. Let me just play it on my TV. And luckily I have, it's not in grabbing distance, I do have like a USB hub that happened to have a HDMI port. And so I did it that way. It was super easy. And let me tell you, that was such a fun way to do it. It was just like the Switch, where it was like, cool, let me just hook it up real quick, play on my TV. And I hooked up my PS5 controller, even though this is my SCUF controller that I got from Andy. I hooked up the controller and it worked perfectly. And I want to have that experience more often because, like, it was just great. Like, it was so easy, and it was a great way to be able to go back and forth. The one thing I'm missing there is the Ethernet jack. Like, the Ethernet port isn't in the USB hub I own, and I think a Steam Deck dock station would be perfect for all that, right? Give me the port, give me the HDMI port, give me the USB stuff, give me the charge. Like, that is the dream scenario for me, and so I want this thing. But also, it's not the end of the world that they delayed it. Get it done when it's done. Make sure it comes out in a working fashion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's cool. Like, the fact that this is even a device excites me so much, man. I just think it's so cool that we're in this era that we could have handheld gaming also switch over to being console gaming with a system that is as powerful as the Steam Deck. Like, yep. Thank you, Switch, for walking so that hopefully the Steam Deck and others can run.
Oh, my God, yeah. Are you going to get a Steam Deck eventually? I forget if I've asked you this before.
I don't really. I mean, I want to hold yours. That is, like, step one. I really don't have the need to at this point. Like, there's enough games I'm not playing on Switch that, like, you know, I don't need more games to not play portably. Like, I find myself, especially in these times where I'm not out, I'm not traveling, that's when I use the portable side of my handhelds the most. Like, certain games I'm down to play in bed, but I'm the type of gamer that needs to be all in. Like, I can't play games and watch something and listen to something, whatever. It's like, I'm playing a game, I'm listening to the game, I'm focusing on all this stuff. And I feel like if I'm doing that, I'd rather just use my TV, you know?
Yeah.
So because of that, Steam Deck, not necessarily something I need when I have my PC and all my consoles.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's been such a fascinating thing for me because the Steam Deck, the thing that I wasn't expecting to get out of the Steam Deck that I've been getting out of it is for it to almost feel like a traditional home console in the way that it's a machine that is built for playing games, right? It has a Linux desktop and all this stuff built into it. But, you know, when I pick up my Steam Deck, you know, I click on and it brings up from sleep mode the game I'm playing. Like, I was playing this game Card Shark yesterday. That's like a new Devolver Digital joint that's like about cheating while playing cards, right? And like, I went from, you know, finishing work here, sitting down on my bed, booting up the Steam Deck, started to play a game of Card Shark, got tired immediately, took a nap, woke up from my nap, booted it up, started playing it again, right? And that's the thing I wouldn't do with traditional PC games, just because, like, I don't want to come to my desk, sit down on my desktop, turn on my computer, go to Steam, boot up a thing, you know, like, that for me. And I know this probably sounds ridiculous to people who are very hardcore into PC, and I understand that I sound ridiculous a lot of time, but like, for me, that is cutting out those steps is such a valuable thing for me. And then also being able to, like, go back and forth between different TVs as well, because, you know, I don't want to necessarily go through the steps of hooking up my PC to play on my TV back there and also play on the TV out there in the living room. Being able to pick up my Steam Deck and just connect it via HDMI and just roll with it has been such a great, like, ease of use thing for me. And so, yeah, I've been very happy with, like, the ways in which it's felt like such a non-PC thing. It's felt like almost like just a pure game console, which I love.
Yeah, dude. I mean, honestly, it is. I'm similar to you in the sense that, like, I like eliminating anything that can get in the way of me just doing the thing that I want to do. And I just feel like it makes my life better, and I get to enjoy the things I'm trying to enjoy more when that's the case. And I feel like with PC gaming, that's usually been the hurdle, that there's always like one thing of like, I wish I could do this way or that way or whatever. And so I dedicated a lot of time to making sure that my setup here, that I could play my PC on my TV without disconnecting or reconnecting anything and just having it work. And it's a game changer, man. Like, just whenever we get codes for PC, which typically is not my like console, whatever, of choice. But when it is this easy, it's like, it's kind of hard to make the argument against it. Like, the biggest thing for me is I'm a DualSense guy over Xbox, even with the Elite controller. And I have found the Elite controller connects to the PC stuff way easier than the DualSense does, even though the DualSense can, but there's always some kinks. There's always a problem with it that I'm like, maybe I'm just going to go PS5 on this one. But I love that we have these options now. You know, yeah. I love that, like, the technology is there, that type of switching off can work.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think has been very good for these options, right? Like, there's somebody in chat that mentioned, like, Card Shark is also on Nintendo Switch, but Death Stranding isn't on Switch, right? Like, Elekhead isn't on any other platform right now, right? Like, there's such a vastness to the library of PC that is all-encompassing. And of course, like, there's so many games I'm not getting on PC, right? Like, I'm not getting Nintendo exclusives. A lot of Sony exclusives aren't there, right? Like, there's still a lack of access of certain things, but there is also a wide breadth of stuff that I'm getting on this platform that makes it easy for me to just, you know, play Card Shark and then switch over to Death Stranding and then play, you know, Tim, this is just for you, right? Audience,
of course,
turn off
your
ears real quick, right?
Yeah.
Tim, the other day, I hooked it up, right? I hooked it up to my TV, booted up this game called NBA Street Volume 2. Played it on my TV.
Never would have saw that coming.
Oh, and that shit looked great on my television, Tim. Let me tell you.
You reminiscing over anything?
Oh, I was reminiscing over it, Tim. I was reminiscing. Tim, let's move on to story number 6. This is breaking as we started the show. Dragon Age 4 has an official title. This comes directly from the Dragon Age blog, where they write, "Our next adventure, Dragon Age Dreadwolf." Our next game,
Dreadwolf. Motherfuckers. Let's go, dude.
That's wild to have both dragon and wolf in the title. That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Our next game now has an official name. We know you've anxiously awaited details, and today we're excited to reveal the official title of the next adventure across the lands of Thetis, Dragon Age Dreadwolf. Thetis, the Dragon Age fans will know. Who is the Dreadwolf? Solas, the Dreadwolf. Some say he might be an ancient elven god, but some say not. Others say a betrayer. Some say...
Who is this guy? I don't know. Some people will be saying this shit. Some people don't know the guy.
He might be an ancient elven god. He might just be a dude. We don't know. We can't tell the difference. Others say he might be a betrayer of his people or a savior who now seeks to rescue them at the cost of your world. His motives are inscrutable and his methods sometimes questionable, earning him a reputation as something of a trickster deity, a player of dark and dangerous games. Okay, this guy actually does sound really cool. Whether you're new to Dragon Age stories or you've experienced them all, using Solace's namesake no doubt suggests a spectrum of endless possibilities on where things may go. But at the core of this, like every past game, is you. If you're new to Dragon Age, you have no need to worry about not having met our antagonist just yet. He'll properly introduce himself when the time is right.
This fucking mystery guy, man. I got some questions.
This guy sounds cool as hell. I love him. But we did hint at his return when we announced hashtag the Dread Wolf Rises back in 2018. Look at that. More Dragon Age Dread Wolf later this year. We suspect you have questions and they'll be answered in time. While the game won't be releasing this year, we're growing closer to that next adventure. Rest assured, Solace is placing his pieces on the board as we speak. That's all we have for now, but we hope knowing the official title has sparked some intrigue as we'll be talking more about the game later this year. Tim, Dreadwolf.
Dreadwolf, fucking cool ass name. This is what I was saying earlier that Jeff Grubb got right, where his summer game mess, one of the things was on June 2nd, dragon name is what he wrote down.
Oh, smart.
So, you know, the classic game mess reveal, everybody. Here it is, Dreadwolf. I'm sure Andy Cortez is stoked out of his mind for this. He's been waiting for Dragon Age for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. I mean, since Dragon Age Inquisition, that was 2014. And so, yeah, it seems like you're going to get it soon. This all, honestly, sounds super cool in a way that I wasn't expecting. Because it was breaking, I didn't get a chance to read through the thing before the show. And as I was reading through it, I was like, fuck, I actually want to know more about Solace. This guy sounds great. Like, the Dreadwolf sounds like a wild adventure.
I love that this entire, like, announcement is just like, yo, here's the name. Let me introduce you to this fucking dude, okay? Like, if you weren't sold on Dragon and Wolf being the name of this game, guess what? There's this Solace dude, and you're going to be asking some questions.
And he's dope as hell. He's like the Joker, but in fantasy form.
But maybe he's not. If that's not your thing, maybe he's not. I don't know.
This also like fascinates me in the sense of EA not having a game showcase during the summer, because it seems like they have a lot they could talk about, or they could have talked about, right? Like, I would imagine that this would have appeared there. We got Jedi Survivor. That was announced last week. Like, that could have appeared there. Obviously, there's always the sports stuff, even the Madden stuff, right? Like, announcing, and I don't know if Madden covers are usually announced at an EA Play, but for Madden 23, with how special it is, with Madden being on the cover, and it seems like there's new preview details arriving this morning and yesterday.
Talking out of my ass, I feel like a new Sims title is probably in the works.
I mean, especially for the new gen.
Like I don't know, Sims 6? I don't know.
Yeah, what it seems like they're holding a lot of things close to the chest, and I wonder why. Like, I'm not driving toward any, like, theory or anything. I'm just, like, curious on why they would say no to doing a presentation, but maybe it's because they want the next one, maybe next year, to be a banger.
Yeah, Sims 5 is next.
Tim, let's round out the Roper Report with story number 7. There is a sick Stranger Things themed Xbox. I'm pulling directly from news.xbox.com. Kevin, I have an image for you to pull up. Which you already done, so thank you. Appreciate it.
I don't think you need to read any of this, Bless. This is a bunch of nonsense. When I look at what you put in the game's daily doc, you usually knock it out of the park where it's like, all right, cool. He got just the info we need here. No, here you have 6 fucking paragraphs. Tapping into 80s nostalgia, drawing inspiration from iconic pop culture moments. It just keeps going. No, it's a Stranger Things Xbox. You probably can't get your hands on one.
You understand how important this is to the Stranger Things community, Tim. It is a cultural phenomenon.
I love the idea that, like, this one press release was just written specifically for Bless, and it fucking worked. He's sitting here reading it, and meanwhile, the writer is just listening to this podcast being like, this is my fucking moment. I'm clipping this out and showing it to my boss.
I fucking love Stranger Things, all right? Like, I read through the press release and I was like, fuck yeah, man. Do you know what they said in the press release? They said that this Xbox was pulled directly from the Upside Down.
That's
the coolest shit I've ever heard in my life. You look at this, like, oh, man. I fucking love it. I really want this Xbox, but I'm never going
to
get it.
Well, guess what? Fans around the globe will have the chance to win one of these custom consoles by following @Xbox on Twitter. Stay tuned on @Xbox for a chance to win.
Oh, man, I this thing looks sexy as hell. Tim, I said that we're rounding out with story number 7. That was a lie, because we do have a story number 8, actually. Mm-hmm. This is one that you added to the doc. If you want to give the breakdown to it, it seems like we have a Super Nintendo World update.
We do, everybody. Really exciting stuff. Get ready. Super Nintendo World is coming to Universal Studios Hollywood in early 2023. It launched a couple years ago over in Japan, and now we are finally getting this, which is so wild. There's been a lot of things in my life that I'm like, damn, I'm old. Like, you start thinking about old game releases, old movie releases, and you're like, it's been 20 plus years since Attack of the Clones or whatever. Like, how the hell is that real?
Christ, that can't be right, right?
But this, oh, it is right, Kev. No. It was the 20th anniversary. But the most insane thing to me is looking at this. Like, I remember when they first talked about Super Nintendo World coming and the dates that they were talking about, I'm like, that's the rest of my life away.
Yeah.
And here we are. It's actually happening after a couple delays. Like, this is absolutely nuts. But Kev, if you want to scroll down just a little bit, there's the reply tweet there. We don't need audio for this. It's Mario Kart music. Like, imagine in your head. you never experienced Mario Kart like this. Ride through iconic courses, throw shells, and collect coins to beat Team
Look
Bowser.
At you reading the thing
when
now.
It comes.
This is 140 characters.
Yeah.
I was joking around
about Stranger Things. I was ready.
Plus, I'm happy how excited you were, is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
So, this shit's dope as hell. I've watched videos of the version of it over in Japan, and it's like, it's crazy ass AR shit. Like, you put on goggles, you're in this in these little carts, and you're going on a whole ride, and you're seeing all the kart racers around you and shit. The music keeps playing. There's some super sick moments. I can't wait to ride it myself, man. Let's go. 2023.
I totally missed this footage. This footage looks incredible of what this Mario Kart ride is. I cannot wait for that. It's enough to make me go, oh, Daddy Tim, this looks amazing.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
One more thing I want to point out. Of course, I think Tim's into it, all right? I think we're unlocking anything for Tim. Kevin, if you can pull that up, go back to the first tweet. I want to point out something, because for audio listeners, it was announced with an image.
Sorry, it's so loud.
The Super Nintendo stuff was announced with an image of Mario standing in front of Universal Studios, and Mario's legs are so long.
Thank you for bringing up the obvious that I don't think anyone's has the courage to talk about except you. Like, that's why we hit the hard-hitting news here. Kind of Funny
so
Games
that's what
Daily.
We're here for, all right?
Is this Luigi?
Whoa! You think this is Luigi, like, in disguise?
I don't know, man. I think there's a switcheroo going on.
I think that's only possible if there's, like, a Mission Impossible style. He pulls off his face, and it's Luigi. Because that face
I thought you were
going
to say Mission Impossible style if it's Tom Cruise. He has to wear, like, big platform shoes where, like, half of his leg here, Mario. There's a lie going on. Like, his feet are actually where his, like, kneecaps are. The rest of it's just, like, a platform that he's on with those big-ass fucking shoes. Clompers.
Clompers. Tim? I can't wait for early 2023 when I get to go to Super Nintendo World with you and go, oh, Daddy Tim, look at that ride over there. I want to ride.
Ride. What look ride at that ride, Daddy on? Tim. And I'll bring you Bless, and I'll be like, they'll be shooting one of those little, like, water thiggies to, like, win a prize, and I'll be, like, cheering you on. And, like,
I can't wait. You
don't do it, but I'll win it for you, and I'll get you the stupid-ass, like, green shell, the most popular item in Mario Kart, you know.
But Tim, that reality is so far away.
I get that reference.
I want to know what's coming out to my drop shops today. Where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Diablo Immortal for PC and mobile, Card Shark for Switch and PC. That game is cool as hell. It has a really dope hand-painted art style. And like I said, right, it's a game about cheating at cards. And when I tell you that they really teach you these cheating techniques, I was not expecting it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm surely it'll be like some, you know, button prompt stuff, some quick time events. No, they're like, this is exactly how you cheat at cards, and they teach you, and it's pretty fun. But also, I use 100% of my brain while playing that game. That game demands your attention. But yeah, that's out. Pretty cool. Switch and PC. We also have Gigapocalypse for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Soldiers for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Unexplored 2, The Wayfarer's Legacy for Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Tokoyo, The Tower of Perpetuity for PC and Nintendo Switch. Clan O'Connell and the Crown of the Stag for PC and Switch. Gravatar Recharge for Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, PC, Switch, and Atari VCS. And this is one I actually do want to give a special shout out for. The description for it reads like this. A lone pilot far from home must navigate an abstract universe of uncharted planets and space stations guarded by mysterious hostile aliens and Gravatar Recharged, a reinvented version of the classic 1982 spaceship shooter by Atom Vision, the developer of Ding Dong XL and Loodle. A Kind of Funny best friend made this game.
Hell yeah, dude.
And so go check that one out. Service Rush, that is out for Xbox Series X, Xbox One, PS5, PS4, PC, and Switch. And then the last Clockwinder is out for MetaQuest and PC. We got some new dates for you. Rumbleverse is getting a cross-platform playtest on June 11th. Endling Extinction is Forever is coming July 19th to PC, Xbox One, Switch, and PS4. And then Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is getting a worldwide reveal on June 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. We have one deal of the day for you. Wolfenstein The New Order is currently free on the Epic Game Store. Tim, since I got that Steam Deck, I've been redeeming things on the Epic Game Store. In fact, I've been having big regrets about not redeeming everything that's becoming free to the Epic Game Store. And so do that if you have it.
Or what's that?
I don't know if that is useful if you're redeeming things free.
Yes, it is. God damn, is plus, really? We say this all the time.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, I'll start doing that. What's code kind of funny? Code kind of funny.
Kind of funny, baby. Yes, let's go. Nailed it. I want to do a little rotating segment where we make up new segments. This segment is like, hey, help Tim... like I really not don't die for team. No, so next week I'm gonna go on a plane for the first time in freaking forever, and like we're gonna be around a lot of people, and I ain't trying to get COVID. So here's my thing. Mm-hmm. I have masks. I've had multiple masks throughout this entire situation. What's the latest tech in masks? What masks should I be wearing? What is the most up-to-date science? So if anybody has answers, please tweet at me at Tim Geddes with like the recommended. Yo, you might be expert with this, but this is the safest you're possibly going to fucking be right now for you and the people around you. I think I'm good. I think I have the answers. I got the N95. I got all this stuff.
Yeah,
but like, let me, if there's anything more than that, let me know, please. Let me know. And here's the other thing to personalize this just a little bit more. You might not see it just looking at this whole thing, but I got a big old face. So these masks, I'm having a problem where a lot of them kind of like just cover my little mouth hole. And I'd really appreciate it if they covered a little bit more of the whole facial structure going on. So tweet at me at Tim Geddes.
Also, this is probably gonna be the thing that I do. The thing you should do also is get some like emergency, you know, like the packs that help fight against sickness. Cause like, you know, COVID is for sure a scare, but also there's all these other sicknesses that have been fucking me up lately because we've been inside for so long and our immune systems are fucked. And so, you know, protect yourself from COVID, but also, you know, think about all the other shit that you might catch because that shit has been killing me lately. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Multiple of you guys wrote in to mention that the Obsidian game is not avowed, but it is this game that Jeff Grubb has been talking about. Is it called Pentiment? People are saying Pentiment. I don't know if that's the name of the game or if that's another thing, but I'll throw that out there. Ubisoft is not a Summer Games Fest partner. I think we got that, but appreciate the write-ins. Returnal was revealed in the NVIDIA leak as a code word that related in every way to Returnal. The code word was woman trapped on planet and it's a maze and she keeps dying over and over again.
Oh.
That's not the code. That was the code word. Nanobiologist does write in with a list of games that were on that NVIDIA leak that were from PlayStation, right? So you have the Uncharted Legacy of Thieves edition that was announced that I think just needs the date. Helldivers 2 was in there. Horizon Forbidden West was in there. GT7. Deracine. God of War. Returnal. Demon Souls. Ratchet and Clank. No specified game. Sackboy. And then Ghost of Tsushima. So we got options. And then... if you want to see, you are D, not Krios, in the Yorong says, if you want to know more about Solace, play Dragon Age Inquisition. Solace is a party member.
Oh, whoa. That's all of those words made sense to me.
But is he a good guy or hey, there's some questions.
Yeah, it's like, did he go wrong? Where did it go bad for Solace? Because it sounds like he might not have had a good time in that game.
But maybe he did.
Maybe he had a great time. There's a lot. Who knows? You know, nobody can know. It could be this. It could be that. He could be a god. He could be a dude. Tim, that's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. We have one day left for the week for Kind of Funny Games Daily, and it's an exciting one because tomorrow you're getting me and the one and only Imran the Don Khan. Hell yeah! So get hyped for that. If you're what was that, Kevin?
Nothing.
If you're watching this live on Twitch, after this is Fortnite with Kevin and Roger, maybe Fall Guys.
It might actually be more Valheim, maybe Portal 2.
Oh.
Chat, get all worked up and try to decide. People watching this on YouTube, get fucked. You know what I mean? Get fucked.
Have you played Portal 2?
I have not.
Okay. I feel like it has to be Portal 2, man. You and Mike doing Portal 2 sounds like quality content.
It'll be, I mean, I just bought it, so I'm ready to rock and roll.
And to be clear, quality content for the viewer. It's going to be a journey for you two.
Kevin is a puzzle poppy.
Kevin is the puzzle like king.
Yeah.
But okay, but we've got Kevin being the puzzle poppy.
Enough excitement.
But then you get Mike, you know.
Yeah.
And I love Mike.
Is Mike going to be on it or is it going to be Roger?
Well, I think
Mike might be out.
Mike's on it. Mike's on it.
Mike's on it?
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah, Mike and Kev playing some Portal 2 might be chaos. That I might have to tune in for. If you want to tune into it, you can tune into it now, or you can tune into it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.